The scripture reading comes from the two passages in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read two verses from there. Chapter 3, 17 to 19. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." So here you see, the cursed is the ground for your sake, for he did not listen. All the cursed thorns and thistles, all those tribulations came to us and to the earth because of sin. And then we see the result of that in Genesis 6. The result of sin, all those troubles. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's go to the text of this morning, which is Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has a power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So far, reading of the inerrant Word of God. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being sick is not fun. In every congregational prayer, we hear this and that. We also heard that little Lincoln had a hard time, and being sick is not fun for the person or for family members. If I may share what happened to me a couple of months ago, I had a visit from someone whose name is Mr. Shingles. I was not familiar with Mr. Shingles because I didn't know how he looks like or what he's capable of. I noticed blisters on my chest. I thought it was just normal blisters, so I thought it was going to disappear soon. I had a little suspicion that it could be shingles, even though I never had one, but I was not 100% sure. And then it was getting bigger and bigger. It was painful to the point that I couldn't bear anymore. I couldn't sleep. So I finally visited the clinic on the Monday. The doctor wanted to see the spot. And as soon as he saw the spot, he was startled. He was surprised a little bit. And he said, "You have shingles. I'll give you prescriptions. Off you go." And then he left. The first impression that I got from him is that he didn't want to touch me. I was a bit offended, to be honest. But I'm so thankful that he told me what it was. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to know what it was and probably would have suffered longer. And I'm sure all of you have or had somewhat a similar experience. People get cold, flus, all kinds of infections, allergies, various injuries. And when you go to see the doctor, the most important question that you want to ask him is, of course, what is wrong with me? Give me an honest opinion. How can I get healthy? A good doctor is the one who can tell, who can diagnose illnesses correctly, precisely, and offer the best solution for the cure. Whereas the bad doctor is the one who sees the symptoms and doesn't know what that is. A good doctor sees the symptoms, such as coughing and sweating, in my case, blisters, and he figures out what the real problem is, and he goes straight to the problem. That's why they use x-rays, MRIs, various blood tests to see, to be able to tell the root of the problem. And of course, the best result that we hope for, and the doctors hope for, is to get rid of the illnesses once for all. Today's passage talks about a paralytic who was healed by Jesus. In the passage, we see the paralytic, he was healed by a master physician, and we'll see how he diagnosed the person and how he healed by pointing the source of the problem. Here is I summarize the Mark sermon with the following theme and points. Jesus reveals himself as the one who has the authority to forgive sins. You're going to see his authority revealed. Second point, his authority refuted by the scribes. The third point, his authority ratified. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house." In the previous verse, in chapter 1:45, "He went out and began to proclaim the gospel freely." It says he was outside in deserted places. And now he entered Capernaum after some days. And people heard about it. And people knew that he was in the house. So the last part of verse 1 draws our attention. He was in the house. The overall impression that we get from the Gospel of Mark is that Jesus is on constant move. He's always busy. He doesn't have a place to rest. We read from other gospel synopses such as Matthew 8, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So we know also know that Jesus was from a place called Nazareth, which is a little away from Capernaum. Yet here Jesus was in the house. So the question is, whose house is this? Well, it's probably Simon Peter's house. There Jesus was established a preaching point, so to speak, and he was doing his duty that was mentioned in the previous chapter, Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that was what Jesus was doing in the house, preaching and teaching the good news. Now, we read from this text that somehow people heard about him, that he was in the house, and in the teaching that Jesus was teaching, and it attracted many people because he taught as the one having authority. He also demonstrated many miracles. There's no room, a space to receive any more in the house. You can imagine the house was packed with people from inside, and probably some people wandering outside of house as well. So you can imagine there's no way to get in or get out. And now there is a man, new character, and the problem is he's a paralytic. You probably know what paralytic means. It means a person who cannot walk. And because he could not walk, he couldn't get in. Not only because he couldn't walk, because the house was packed. And because he couldn't walk, he needed help. In verse 3, we see, then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. They probably were close friends or relatives. They wanted Jesus to heal him. But there's obstacles. They couldn't get in. So many people. So they climb on the roof of the house, and they began to take away the roofing material in order to lower him down into the room. Imagine that. Jesus is teaching. Was middle of preaching and teaching in the middle. And at that time, people heard some strange noise from the roof. And then they saw some dust falling down. Some chunk of mud falling down. You can imagine people are looking at the roof. All of a sudden, there appears a big hole on the roof. And there comes a bed with a paralytic. Nobody expected that to happen. And when I was reading it, I wondered if what Mrs. Simon Peter's wife was thinking at the time. She probably had something to say about this. Now, despite this, here's something that deserves our attention in verse 5. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. And what does that mean? That means he recognized their faith. How? Well, apparently he recognized their faith when they saw they're drilling the hole. Well, how does that work? Again, brothers and sisters, let us put ourselves in the shoes of those four friends. When those four men arrived, as I said, the house was packed. They realized they could not get in. And they had a choice. They could have given up and turned away. Oh, tomorrow is another day. We could come tomorrow. But they didn't. Instead, they went to the roof, which could be troublesome. They put a hole on the roof. It could potentially bring some trouble. with the owner of the house, but it didn't matter to them. Why? Because they had conviction. If they didn't have this conviction, they wouldn't come to the Savior. They had a faith. That's what Jesus recognized. For a little side note here, there's something that we can think about this. Why Jesus said he recognized a faith. I said a little side note because this is not really a main theme or main points of the sermon, but it's a side note that we can learn a little lesson from here. Because these days, whenever I go to meet some other pastors, a ministerial meeting, one of the frequent topics that people, ministers, talk about is church attendance. Many churches are struggling with attendance, especially in the second service. People give many excuses. People talk about obstacles. Some of them, of course, they are valid. But think about these four men. Imagine the obstacles that they had to face. But they did come to Savior. They didn't give up. Why? Because they had a faith. And again, Jesus recognized, saw their faith. Something for us to think about. In the meantime, let us not forget what Jesus was doing at that moment. Jesus was preaching and teaching. He was proclaiming the good news of God that was mentioned in Mark chapter 1. Repent. Believe in the gospel. The message was simple. Believe and repent. Listen and respond with faith. That message is still valid to us. Jesus wants us to listen and respond in faith. And if we listen and respond with our faith, and he will freely forgive our sins. That was what he was teaching at the time. And there you go, hole on the roof. The paralytic came down. And verse 5 says, he saw their faith. He saw their faith, and he responded with forgiveness of sin. And he says, son, your sins are forgiven you. If you follow his teaching, the content of his preaching, his comment about forgiving sins makes perfect sense. But the problem was, people didn't understand. Well, think about it. What would you say if someone drilled a huge hole through your roof? In this passage, what do you think Peter, or owner of the house, or Mrs. Peter, we have a Peter here too, not that Peter, but disciple Peter, what do you think he would have said to these four men? Are you out of your mind? You could have just waited until Jesus comes out. Look what you have done. You interrupted his preaching. Also notice that the paralytic did not ask for the forgiveness of his sin. People were expecting Jesus to do something or say about healing. And the question is, why did Jesus say, your sins are forgiven? Well, it could be that Jesus knew what was in his heart. Notice that Jesus called him son. It's a term of endearment. The Lord has compassion upon this man. The Lord knows what this man needed the most. In the ancient world, people thought that physical suffering has everything to do with the sins that they're committed. Some believers still struggle with this. If something happens, something bad happens to their children, parents have this idea that, oh, perhaps it's because of my sin. Maybe God is punishing my children for my sin. Maybe a similar idea was in the head of the paralytic. Mark does not tell us whether this man felt guilty about his illnesses or not. So this is a little speculation. But the point is, Jesus knew what he needed the most, the best way to comfort him. And actually, the suffering is the result of sin in general sense, because as we read from Genesis chapter 3 and chapter 5, and then the Bible tells us that the fall of man is the cause of the evil of the world. As I mentioned in the introduction, when you're sick, you want to find out the source of the symptoms. If you have a flu, you not only want to get rid of the coughing or pain, but also the real source of the flu, such as virus. In this world, we witness murder, theft, terrorism, hatred, all kinds of injustices. And the Bible tells us that they are the symptoms of sin. We just read from Genesis 3. It's really depressing. But the Lord also gave us the promise of the solution too. That is, the seed of woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of woman is, of course, as you know, is Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for the forgiveness of our sin. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he's worthy to say so, because he has all the right to forgive our sins, for he received all our punishment on behalf of us. And this leads to the second point: his authority was refuted. In verse 6, we see some people there. They were the scribes. They were teachers of the law. The scribes were mentioned in the previous chapter. Jesus taught them as the one having authority and not as the scribes. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" Well, they didn't say that out loud, but maybe they were thinking too loud. Again, they thought Jesus was blaspheming because only God can forgive sins. And in fact, the scribes were right, because it is true, only God can forgive sins. They were probably thinking about some Isaiah passages. Isaiah 33:22 says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, he is our king, and it is he who will save us. No one living in Zion will say, 'I am ill,' and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven." So the authority to forgive sins exclusively belongs to God alone. Even the priests cannot forgive sins. Or they can pronounce the forgiveness of sins on the basis of repentance, restitution, and animal sacrifices, but they could not actually forgive sins. But what Jesus was doing was not pronouncing the forgiveness of sins like priests do. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." What he was doing is that he was claiming that he's able to forgive sins as if he were God. And no wonder why the scribes were thinking that way. In other words, they were thinking, they thought that Jesus was stealing the authority of God. However, they were right. And actually, they were half right, because they only saw Jesus as man, not as God. One little detail that we should not miss in verse 6 is that some of the scribes were sitting there. The word sitting contrasts with the active demonstration of faith of the man on the roof. The fact that the scribes were sitting there reminds us of what Jesus said about the Pharisees and scribes in other chapters. Mark 12, and Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, and best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts." Oh, Jesus is not criticizing people who are sitting down. If you need to sit down, you need to sit down. He's not criticizing the action itself, but he was pointing out their attitude that was reflected in the action. The scribes, they loved to be recognized. They got their best seats in the synagogues, in the crowded house. You can imagine some people were standing still, but they still had their best seats. Whereas those four men came with faith. They didn't have a seat, but they came with conviction that Jesus would heal the paralytic, his friend. They were ready to submit to the authority of Jesus. Now compare that attitude with the attitude of the scribes. The scribes were sitting implies that they were ready to judge. They were proud. Right away they made a judgment in their hearts in verse 7. Why does this man talk like that? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Brothers and sisters, that little word, sitting, teaches us a good lesson when it comes to attending our worship services, our attitude. The motivation behind coming to worship service, is it because you want to show reverence to God? Is it because you want to submit to the word of God? Or is it because you want to be proven as righteous? There's a contrast between those four men who actively display their faith in their actions, whereas the scribes was sitting there, kept their complaints hidden in their hearts. But the thing is, God knows everything that is happening in our hearts. Immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit, and that he knew they were reasoning in themselves. Brothers and sisters, God knows all things in our hearts, true motivations, every motivation. When we walk, when we sit, when we stand. This leads to the final point, his authority ratified. Well, in verse 8, scribes thought that he was a mere man. But the thing is, the fact that he could see through hearts by his spirit proves that he is not a mere man. He was a true man and true God. God in flesh. Jesus asks, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed, and walk'?" And brothers and sisters, this is the key point of our text. This is a very loaded question. Which do you think is easier? To say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or "Take up your bed and walk"? Now think about this question from the perspective of the scribes. From the scribes' point of view, they thought that it would be a lot easier for Jesus to say, "Your sins are forgiven." In other words, he's taking an easy way out. Because it would be difficult to say, rise, take up your bed, and go. Because whether your sins are forgiven or not, nobody's able to tell that. Because nobody can see through man's heart. Only God is able to do that, and only God knows that. But whether this paralytic is going to be healed or not, you can see with your own eyes right away. They believe that Jesus was man, so they thought Jesus is not able to heal this man. Therefore, they thought Jesus was taking easy way out. Again, I emphasize, those four men came with faith, but the scribe came with a suspicion and unbelief. In Deuteronomy 18:22, the Lord gave a provision to the people of Israel to discern true prophet from false prophet. When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the things does not happen or come to pass, this is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of them. Well, again, scribes thought that Jesus was intentionally tricking them because nobody can confirm whether the paralytic was forgiven or not. But Jesus showed that the pronouncement of forgiveness is not just an idle theological statement. Jesus proved himself that he is a true prophet, according to Deuteronomy 18, by making the paralytic to walk, so that they may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth. I just said this is a very loaded question. Which is easier? It would be easier, in scribe's mind, easier for Jesus to say your sins are forgiven. However, if you approach this question with a different view, the answer is quite opposite. And let me explain. In the introduction, I mentioned something about the symptoms and the source of the symptoms. Which one is easier? To get rid of the symptoms or to get rid of the source of the symptoms? Once for all. Which one do you think is easier? To receive daily pills and alleviate pains? Or symptoms every day, or having a huge surgery. Well, I guess it all depends what kind of illness you have. But let's say this is very severe illness that requires huge surgery, such as heart surgery or many days of radiation therapy. But the point is, if you don't get rid of the source of the symptoms will appear again and again. From a doctor's point of view, when the illness is very severe, such as cancer or heart problem, it is very difficult to get rid of the source of the symptom once for all. We see that all sorts of the problem in the world, we wonder, how are we going to fix those individual problems and all that mess? For instance, marriage problems, relationship problems, financial problems. Well, sometimes we can solve the problems temporarily. We build more jails. We pass more laws. We hire more police officers. But problems keep on appearing again and again. Why? Because the source of the symptom is still there. So which one is easier? Or which one is more difficult? Now, what our master physician Jesus is saying is that he has the right answer. Jesus accomplished the more difficult task, which is to get rid of the source of all the problems by cleansing our sins once for all. We have this tendency that seeing is believing, Many people think that showing miracles is more difficult. See that in some other churches. They're good at that. They're good at showing. And because they can see, they think miracles are the greatest works. And they focus on that all the time. So it was the same with the scribes according to Mark 12. They thought the physical healing is more difficult. That's why people want to see the special signs and miracles. Radical emotional changes when it comes to knowing God's will. And when it comes to confirming what God wants me to do. Often, that misleads people. But the work of the Holy Spirit, remember, brothers and sisters, is meek and gentle. And He works in our hearts. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen." Jesus recognized the faith of those four men who came with conviction, who did not rely on their vision, but their faith. And Jesus looked at their faith as precious. So brothers and sisters, which is easier? And which one is more difficult? External miracles that you can see with your flesh eye, with your own eyes? I'm not denying that that's difficult. But more difficult thing to do is to change someone's heart for good. Well, I experience that every day. Do you know why? Because changing someone's heart involves with killing our old man and regenerating or reviving or resurrection our new man. Changing our attitude toward God is very, very difficult. There's a reason why we say wooden shoes, wooden head, wooden listen. Holy Spirit tells us through the Gospel of Mark that our master physician gave the solution, difficult one, yet very beneficial one, that is solving all our problems by washing away our sins with His precious blood. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, work in our hearts, crucifying our old man, and raise us as the new man. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, that we thank You for Your gospel message in our text, that our doctor, our master, Your Son, Jesus came to this earth to solve our problems permanently. He had to go through the sufferings for us. He had to pay for the price that we are supposed to pay. And we are so thankful for that. And help us to realize how precious that is. Also, we realize that we are not capable of bringing our lost ones back, because without work of Your Holy Spirit, without reviving the heart, the dead heart, that our nature is so stubborn that we always are hostile to God. And this morning we think of the Amanda Laos, and we think of Jolina and Kendra, that help us to reach out to them in the same time that we desperately ask You for Your powerful work in their hearts. Again, we confess that without Your help, it is impossible to raise someone from the dead. Also, forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. that help us to crucify our old nature day by day and look upon your power, your cross, and your authority to forgive our sins, so that we may rely on you and seeking our salvation from you. All these we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.